Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. This live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling and special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 129,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of Pixie Dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And it's Sunday, March 27th, 2011, and this is a live show for March 2011 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome back from France, Mike.
Hello, Matthew. How are you? In distant towns, in quiet villages, within the heart of all my people, dwells the secret vagabond.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Where'd I just come from?
Oh, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
France.
Impressions de France.
Something French. Also joined on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. And Len, I'm sure you had Butler and VCU in your final four.
Didn't everyone? What?
Oof. Well, there goes my bracket. How are you, Len?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
Outstanding.
I made Bananas Foster. Actually, I didn't make Bananas Foster, but Laurel made Bananas Foster yesterday. The video is on Facebook in case anybody wants to see it.
Nice.
Did not burn the kitchen down.
That's always a good thing. Also joining on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome, Mike.
Matt, I'm so excited about this month's live shoe that it's just so exciting.
Can't a guy just make a typo for once?
Typo? This isn't a live shoe?
Also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, the manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Hey, but I have my 4-inch heels on. I am ready for the show. The shoe show. I'm ready.
Do you really wear heels to the show? I know you wear them to the parks.
If you believe that one, let's talk.
All right. Giving you the benefit of the doubt. And our special guest this month is AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com, who runs that website, and is the author of the brand new Disney Food Blog Guide to Walt Disney World Dining, a really great ebook that the likes of Len Testa and Deb Wills of AllEars.net have already commented on publicly about. That's how awesome it is. So welcome to the show, AJ.
Thank you very much.
And it's our March live show, and it's your opportunity to call in and speak with us and AJ, our super awesome celebrity for this evening. And super get your awesome calls in. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And lots to talk about, lots of different topics out there. And it's your opportunity to be a part of the show. So give us a call and we'll put you in to the show. And we'll start things off with our first call with somebody. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, somebody.
Hi, my name is Joe.
Hey, Joe, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Hey, Joe, what can we do for you tonight?
Maple Grove, home of the Maple Grove muskrats.
I have no idea. We just moved here.
Yeah, it's definitely the muskrats, Joe.
It's definitely the muskrats. Awesome.
I'll take your word for it.
No problem.
What's on your mind tonight, Joe?
Well, we're getting ready to go on our first trip to Walt Disney World. We are super excited. We've been planning since around Christmas. I've gone a little bit ridiculous. I bought at least 3 or 4 guidebooks, and the Unofficial Guide is clearly the best one. It is the definitive book for anybody that is getting in the market to plan the vacation. It is, you start there. That's absolutely the best.
Is this my cousin, Joe?
Yeah.
Tell you about your relatives calling the show.
Jeez. How's it going, Joe? All right.
It's good.
Checks in the mail, Joe.
And so I really wanted to thank you guys. The book is awesome. The podcast is awesome. I've gone through tons of episodes, and you guys have really helped us a lot. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
My first question is, I guess it's directed toward AJ. We are wanting to know quick service hidden gems. What are some of the foods that we can enjoy that maybe we haven't read about yet or unique to Walt Disney World?
Oh, okay. Fantastic. I would say, as far as quick service, the things that people really tend to like are the stuff that is a little outside of the norm. So not so much the burgers and the fries and things like that. People tend to like, in Epcot, if you like Moroccan food or African food, they have Tangerine Cafe over there with a lot of really good stuff. Over also in Epcot, over at Sunshine Seasons in Future World, there's a ton of different stuff for you to try. So you definitely don't have to stick with, you know, burgers, fries, pizza, things like that. If you do like burgers and fries and maybe an Italian sandwich here or there, over in Animal Kingdom, I personally really like Restaurantosaurus. And I know some people will disagree with me on that, but I like it because the theming in that restaurant is so much fun. So it's always fun to just kind of look around in that restaurant. And I also personally, I like the chicken fingers there. So that's weird. Okay. But also in Animal Kingdom, I like to go to what's called the Yak and Yeti counter service, which is actually called the Anandapur Local Food Cafes, but it's right next to Yak and Yeti, the restaurant over in Asia. They have some good egg rolls. They've got some good fried rice. Really like that stuff. And let's see, over in the Magic Kingdom, Columbia Harbor House is a favorite of a lot of people. There's some lighter stuff there. So a lot of the food at Disney World can be really heavy and kind of weigh you down. So Columbia Harbor House has some lighter stuff. And then over at Hollywood Studios, Matt, what do you like?
Backlot Express and ABC Commissaire are my picks for the counter service options.
Yeah, I like those too. Yeah, so I think those are some of the best. And of course, if you have room in your belly for snacks, they've always got good cupcakes.
Speaking of Hollywood Studios, one of the things that my 7-year-old's really excited about is Toy Story Mania, and that's something that we're going to get there for rope drop for. If we're just interested in riding that once, do we just go to the standby line, or do you go to the fast pass line? I feel like there's sort of this, you know. And then more generally, is fast pass, getting the fast pass and then redeeming the fast pass, what is like the break-even point of just go ahead and get in standby?
Well, if you're going to be there for park opening, which you should, then you can just hop on the standby line as soon as the park opens. In fact, I've often found the standby line at park opening to be shorter than the fast pass line, if you can believe that. That's how popular it gets over there. So if your goal is to ride once and you're going to be on hand for park opening, definitely just hop on the standby line because you'll get that out of the way. And you'll be done with it a lot sooner because, you know, when your fast pass return time probably won't be until at least 9:30, if not closer to 10 o'clock. Or, you know, with those lines, who knows, by the time you get to the fast pass machine, it might be there for like 11 or 12. So your best bet is just to get there for the standby line. Make sure you're there well in advance. Get, you're at the park. The turnstile's, you know, probably about 8:30 to 8:45, but that way you'll be on, okay, you know, that pole position. And then hop, just follow the huge crowd of people that are going to be heading over there, and you should be okay.
Okay. Is
Scopa
on the show today?
He is.
Here I am, Joe.
Mike, are you ready for the Red Sox season, man?
We're losing his call, Matt.
Interesting preseason. I think that Terry Francona is trying a few things. I'm sort of ready. I think that it will be interesting because I think that this is a transitional year for the the dark side down in New York. So I think
which team bought two different players this offseason? I forget. Just remind me.
They're fantastic players.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Not bad, AJ. First call, thrown right in the fire.
Taking the night off. This is great.
This is great. Len, go make those banana Fosters. Keep them coming.
Woo.
We have our next call on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Yes, this is Brian from Vegas.
Hey, Brian.
Brian, I was just there.
Yeah, it's nice and sunny out here. Nice place to, you know, get out of the cold north.
Yeah. It was 75 when I was there a couple weeks ago.
It's a little cooler now. It's probably low 60s, but still can't beat the weather.
What can we do for tonight, Brian?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be going down to the world toward the end of May, right before and after Memorial Day weekend. And I know by the time I believe that the new Star Tours 2.0 is going to be coming out. And I know that's also Star Wars weekend. And so avoiding that, what might be the best day or the best strategy to get into to see Star Tours 2.0?
Well,
way through massive lines and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't have any interest in Star Wars weekends, which I question your many other things about that, but if you want to just have the shortest line, it's probably going to be during the weekdays when Star Wars weekend is not occurring, and that's not including Friday, because Friday is part of Star Wars weekends.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday would be a good day, Lon. That's a good point.
Yeah, Monday, Memorial Day. It's Monday after Memorial. Yeah, so it's better Tuesday.
But that or also a day that doesn't have Fantasmic will also make your life a little easier.
When is running Fantasmic? Is it still certain nights of the week, or is it still a crapshoot based on what Disney wants to do that day?
It's. I mean, the schedule's very sporadic. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Actually, I mean, it's all posted, but there's not a pattern or anything. You can go to studiocentral.com, and you'll see the Fantasmic schedule. We have there through, I think, August or something like that. And you can check out the options there and see which nights they have Fantasmic. And as we get closer, I expect them to add more. Keep in mind what Disney does is they put out the Fantasmic schedule, 6 months in advance, and they keep it very, very paltry. It's like it's really bare bones. And as they get closer and they start figuring out how many people are really coming to Walt Disney World for that time of the year, then they start adding in shows here and there. So it may change, but at the very least, you're going to have a good idea of where the basics are. And at least more often than not, what you'll see, Brian, is that they'll add like a second show to a night as opposed to like adding a totally different day altogether. If that makes any sense?
Sure. Any idea how that might affect the lines for Toy Story Mania with new Star Tours, or I think it's still going to be an hour wait to get there? Don't get there until opening.
I don't think Toy Story will be affected all that much because, Len, I mean, I think you'll agree with me that Toy Story, the real draw for that is it's a family attraction. Anyone can ride that. But Star Tours is obvious. It has a height requirement, and I heard the height requirement is going up today.
What's the height requirement going to be?
I think it's at 40 now or something like that. It's going to be like 40 or 44. It's going up from where it was before.
No, so the 44. Wow, is it? So they're really changing the ride profile.
Yeah. I mean, they're adding two different axes of rotation. Before it was just four. Now it's going to be six. So it's
what? You're going to go upside down?
I don't know, but it's going crazy, man. You need that third dimension or whatever. But I would still think, I mean, even so, Len, even though he's going to be insanely popular, even during like Star Wars weekends, for instance.
Yeah, the fact that there's a height requirement is going to curtail it for small children. So right. I think Toy Story Mania will still be pretty popular.
I'm just thinking Len will never go on the new one.
Okay. I guess the Star Tours, with the new one, will it just have one storyline? I heard they might have multiple storylines.
15 different combinations, right? Right, Matt?
No, 54.
54. Wow. Oh, I thought it was 15. I thought it was 3 and 5.
No, 54 possible combinations. I forget who it was. One of the Imagineers said it'll be like, hopefully you'll never be able to really tell the same ride twice. Every ride will seem, what's the quote? I'm butchering it. But it's a, it's on Studio Central. You can find it.
Well, I can remember 54 things. Is there going to be like a sharp blow to the head at the end of the ride? So you're dead?
Star Tours 2 will feature 54 possible experiences. Quote, you will rarely, if ever, see the same show twice, and it's all in 3D.
Wow.
Wow,
I thought it was only 15, so 54, that's great. And there's a 44-inch height requirement.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just more than it was before. I don't know if it's 44, but 44, 48, who knows?
What was it before, 40?
That's like it's funny you should ask, Glenn.
How about that, Matt?
Yeah. The current height requirement is 40.
40. So it'll be 40.
Probably 44. I think it's a good guess. Yeah. 48 is like, that's like roller coaster going upside down kind of thing. Cool.
Well, guys, thank you very much. And I'll let you go. I'll go to the roulette table. I'll put $10 down for you guys at number 36.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
407-278-5939
he was in Vegas. He must have a system.
We have Kim from Pittsburgh, I think, on the line. Hey, Kim.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hi, Key.
Hey, Kim.
Ding.
Hey, has anybody done the new Wild Africa trek?
Yes.
And has also done the Sunrise Safari?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay, I've done Sunrise Safari. I've done Concierge at Animal Kingdom, and it's great. But I was wondering if I was looking for a comparison.
AJ, have you done the Sunrise Safari by chance?
No, I wish I had. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
next time I'll go with you next time, Kim.
Okay, okay.
Sounds like a research trip. That's what it sounds like. It's a research trip.
Definitely a research trip. Hopefully December. Given
what was the what was the wild? What was the safari? The safari like?
It's basically. I mean, you start very early in the morning.
Do you start around sunrise?
Actually, in December, yes. I've done it twice, both times in December, and it was like you gathered like at 7 o'clock in the lobby of the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then they take you over to the park, get you on the Kilimanjaro Safari vehicles, and basically you go through the ride for an hour without the shtick.
Okay, so that's not what the
effort. They're just letting the animals into the compound, and you have keepers who actually work at the lodge, and they'll answer questions and all of that. So you have a leisurely ride through the ride, and you can ask questions and all of that. And then you go do a catered breakfast at now they're doing it at Pizza Fire. It used to be Tusker House.
Okay, so there's part of the Wild Africa Trek where you're on the safari as well, but that's like a third of the overall tour, and it doesn't take an hour. It's more like 45 minutes. You start off. Have you been on the Kilimanjaro safaris recently?
I haven't. Not since last April.
Okay. There are new rope bridges above the hippo tank and over the crocodile tank that you walk on as part of the Wild Africa Trek. You also go behind the scenes around the gorilla cages. So you actually go you go into the exhibits, and you're wearing special vests that keep you tethered to a safety line when you're doing it, and that's like two thirds of the Wild Africa Trek is walking around the exhibits. The other third is spent on the safari, and you get pretty much the same spiel that you get on the safari, but you get to spend more time doing it. So to let other cars pass you by, you kind of pull off a little bit, and they keep talking about it. And it ends with a meal as well, either a breakfast or a lunch, but it's not in the park. It's actually at a little stand that they set up on the savannah in the middle of the safaris. Yeah, so and you have an overlook of all the animals. So it's so it's longer. You get more actual time walking on the ground and then up in the air above things. We did an episode of this back in December, Matt?
Yeah, we have an episode with you and Scarlett talking about it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my new job has severely curtailed my podcast listening. I work in a call center now. I can't listen to the podcast at work anymore.
What?
It's tough. Is
unemployment really that bad? I'm just asking.
Matt, the company that we work for, it might be just as even.
Unfortunately, life has gotten a little more complicated. So my podcast listening is severely curtailed. Right. I have to get a better schedule going for the podcast.
How long is your commute?
10 minutes if I get the right bus. See, it's I live in the city, and it only takes 5 or 6 minutes for the bus to get into downtown. So once the weather gets a little better, I'll be walking in the afternoons.
There
so
you go.
That was my plan. Okay, plug in the podcast, get at least 3 or 4 in on one walk. So,
or you could take up long distance running, Kim. Long distance running, it's a fabulous hobby.
That would be no Len.
Just saying. I suggested it.
Thanks, Kim.
So thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Bye, Kim.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939 is our number. Let's keep things going with our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Maureen. I'm going to have to turn off my radio. 1 second.
No problem.
Okay.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Good. This is so exciting. I've always wanted to be able to get through to you guys, and I've never been able to. So this is great. So,
sorry.
I have a couple of questions for you guys. I started listening to you guys about a year ago, and I've been playing catch up to all of your episodes, becoming
wow.
a Disney addict. So I'm still working up to it. So there's a lot of things that are questions that I may have that you've probably answered before that. That you've probably answered before that I didn't hear yet. So if you're ready,
yep,
I have a couple questions for you. Okay, so we're going on November 13th through the 19th of 2011. And we picked those dates because we were looking at trainplans.com and saw that that was a good time to go.
Woo.
So my first question is, I was looking at the touring plans, and I realized that we are going to do what you recommend the most, which is be there at the beginning, but we're
yep.
planning every day to go back to the hotel to bring our four-year-old son back for a nap. And my question is, in regards to the touring plans, you don't have one, or that I've seen yet, that would work for us coming back to the park in the late afternoon, early evening. So what is your recommendation for us to do in that situation for everyday touring?
Which parks, Maureen?
We're going to go to all of them. So we're planning on, our plan is that we're going to go to whatever park is open for extra magic hours that morning, start our day there, go back to the hotel for a nap,
mm-hmm.
And then come back to the one that's open for extra magic evening hours, if there is one, and finish off our day there. And that's
okay.
kind of our touring idea. We're planning on spending about 2 days at Magic Kingdom, 2 days at Hollywood Studios, about a day and a half at Animal Kingdom, and a day and a half at Epcot. So if it works out like that, they haven't really released the hours for that time yet, so I'm not 100% sure, but that's kind of what we're leaning to.
So there's the touring plans for the Magic Kingdom and for Epcot that are two-day plans definitely have breaks in the middle of the day. If you're looking at the touring plans for small children, they should have breaks in the day, like 3 or 4 hour
they
breaks.
Do.
In the, mm-hmm.
They do. But the other thing that I was looking at was the one for touring with small children is that we want to do the small children ride, but we also want to do the ones that are geared for older children because our son is kind of on the taller end, but he
okay.
also wants to do, you know, the traditional little kids rides like Dumbo and Peter Pan, but he also wants to do thrill rides as well.
Is he tall enough to get on Space Mountain?
He will be, yes. I think
really?
Space Mountain is 44 inches. Yeah. My husband's 6'2", so.
Wow, okay.
He will be.
So you want to do the traditional, okay, so we've got a plan for you. There's, I haven't yet put it on the, put it in the Magic Kingdom plans page. But if you go to the blog and you search for a touring plan for older and younger children, one comes
okay.
up. So we've got a special plan for the Magic Kingdom that includes all the big kid rides and all the little kid rides.
Okay.
In one
so
day.
I'll go on the blog and look for that.
Yeah, go ahead and look for
okay.
that. That'll be the thing to start with. And then if you shoot me an email, I will tell you how to split it up into 2 days. But really what it comes down to is do all the Fantasyland, Liberty Square, and Frontierland attractions one day, and do all the Tomorrowland and Adventureland attractions and Main Street attractions on the other day, in that order.
Okay. Awesome. Now, I was reading the Ultimate Guide, and I know that you guys are kind of iffy about going to the park for extra magic hours or going to that park that has extra magic hours, but
yep.
we are staying on site. We're staying at Caribbean Beach, and we do want to take advantage of it because it is our first time going, and
cool.
we don't know when we'll get the chance to go back again.
Sure.
So I was kind of throw it at you, like, how do you think during the time that we're going, which is kind of a valley season, going to the extra magic morning and extra magic evening park?
So the reason why we don't recommend it typically is because we know from experience that most people can't get themselves out of bed on vacation in order to be there when the park opens at 8. Right,
okay,
so
yeah, we're morning people, so we're up at 5 every day, so that's not going to be an
oh,
issue.
Oh, then you shouldn't have any trouble then. So then go ahead and do it. What I would say is
okay.
morning extra magic hours works great at the Magic Kingdom, works great at Epcot, works great at the studios. Doesn't work at all at the Animal Kingdom. So that's the one day that you can sleep in. It's
okay.
The Animal Kingdom doesn't yet have very many rides that are able to handle the extra guests during extra magic hours. Okay. You end up waiting a little bit longer on days where there's there's no point. So why get up early and wait in line longer? It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, awesome. My third question is about car rental. Now, we're staying at Caribbean Beach, and I know that you guys often recommend to rent a car, but we don't want to unless we have to. Now, with our situation where we are planning on going back for naps every day, what do you think about us renting a car if we're staying at Caribbean Beach? We were thinking maybe not so much because it is a lower season with the crowds, but I don't know if you would know better if we really should consider getting a car rental.
Do you know, do you have a preferred room at Caribbean Beach, or is it not a preferred room?
We're staying at one of the pirate rooms.
And are those preferred rooms, the pirate rooms?
No, those are.
I think those are the ones that are on the far end.
Yeah, they're as far
they're
away.
They're very, very far away from everything. Yeah.
So, Maureen, that means that it's going to be a hike for you to get to the food court every morning?
We're not using the food court.
Okay, you're not using the food court. You know, plan on spending, you know, 20 or 30 minutes each way on the bus. So, you know, you could be spending up to 2 hours a day on a bus or waiting for a bus.
Okay.
You know, somewhere between an hour and 2 hours. You have to ask yourself whether that's worth renting a car. What I would say is go check mousesavers.com. They have a car rental discount codes that you can use. I like dollar and budget. They're usually the two least expensive, and they're on site. Are you flying, Maureen?
Okay.
You're flying, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You're flying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're flying from Boston.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, so check Mouse Savers for a rental car discount code and see what you can get. You know, if this is your one trip and you're only going to be there for a little bit, or you're not sure when you're going back, you know, an hour a day waiting in line versus a car rental, that's... Yeah.
Hey, Maureen.
Okay.
Maureen, this is Mike Scopa. What airlines are you flying down on?
Well, that was going to be my fourth question, and I'm glad you asked me that, Mike, because I know you're from New Hampshire. So I've been tracking flights, but I don't know what a good deal is. So I'm trying to figure out when would be the best time for me to book a flight and what flight.
I hear
what airline to use.
Well. The average cost of a flight from New England to Orlando is $278 round trip. So if you can get anything from...
How do you even know that? How do you even know that?
Because I made 10 trips last year.
I know. I'm just saying.
And the reason why I'm asking is that if you use Southwest and you book on Dollar and you are part of the Rapid Rewards program, you'll get extra rewards with Dollar because they're part of the Rapid Rewards program for Southwest. That's why I brought that question up.
Okay.
But I think JetBlue flies.
Do you recommend Southwest flying out of New England?
Southwest or JetBlue? I'm guessing Jet. I mean, do you live in Boston or do you live in North Shore? Or where do you live?
We live in Boston.
So Logan is pretty close. It's closer than Rhode Island.
Right around the street.
Yeah. So I would say Southwest. I mean, I take Glenn's advice, and if you're going to book with Dollar, then I would try to book with Southwest as well.
Okay. Okay. Now, my last question about car rental. If we do the rental, we were talking about driving the car there in the morning to guarantee that we got there really early before rope drop, and then taking the car back to the hotel, doing the nap. Now, we're considering taking the bus back for the evening so we weren't stuck with all that traffic leaving the park at the end of the night. Do you think that's a good plan?
You'd still have bus traffic. You'd still have to...
Depends upon the park. If it's the Magic Kingdom, that's probably the best thing to do. But every other park...
Well, hold on. If the Magic Kingdom, though, at night, you... Hold on. So the Magic Kingdom... I wouldn't drive because...
No, we take the bus home.
Yeah, Maureen, so we never recommend driving to the Magic Kingdom because then...
Yeah, I know that, yeah. Okay. Take the bus for Magic Kingdom. So excluding Magic Kingdom, which we will definitely take the bus for there and back, is the other parks. Do you think we should just still drive back to the park instead of jumping back in the bus for going there for the evening?
So drive there, take the bus back to your resort, take the bus back to the park, drive home. Drive back to your resort. That's interesting.
Okay, so then No, not that. Take the take the car to the park.
Yep.
Take the car back for the nap, and instead of taking the car for the afternoon,
jumping on
the bus. So jump on the bus to take it there, and then jump on the bus to go back. Basically, no car in the evening, because we were thinking that there was going to be a big bunch of traffic trying to leave the park and being stuck in the parking lot for hours.
I never leave right after like a firework or anything, but I've never had that much trouble leaving the park. I would actually be more concerned that you wouldn't get on the first bus back to Caribbean Beach.
Oh, okay.
Now, I can say I've actually experienced more traffic going to the buses and the lines waiting on the next bus or the third bus to come to pick us up versus going to your car to get out, because there's several lanes of traffic. Everybody's going out. I just haven't had that.
Okay.
I mean, I think Maureen, if you just wait like 5 or 10 minutes and let a little bit of the crowd disperse for traffic, you know, maybe do some shopping, take some pictures at night because all the parks look great at night. You'll be fine. Okay. I would just drive. I just drive everywhere but the Magic Kingdom.
Awesome. And one last thing, that time of year, I know that they're doing the holiday shows. We're going to book them Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Now, is there going to be a lot of the Christmas decorations up since it's in the earlier part of November?
That'll all be 13th? Up. No, they're starting the Christmas parties on the 7th, so, or around the 7th.
Okay,
so
yeah, September.
Exactly.
Yeah, our backup date was going to be like in the second week in December, but the crowds are a little higher then. So, and we're trying to minimize the amount of crowds. So we're gonna stick with these dates then, 13th through the 19th.
Cool, great. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks.
Have a good trip.
407-278-5939 is our phone number.
Scopa, is there any truth that this year the winter party is Mickey's Very Merry Festivus Party? Is that what I hear? Goofy's doing feats of strength?
If they can get enough aluminum poles, yes.
That's right. Mickey's Very Merry Festivus Party. I think that should be the new theme this year.
Don't forget to join us in our chat room. Just go to www.com, and you'll see the link for our chat room and join us in there. You can actually chat with all of us. And AJ, our special guest from the DisneyFoodBlog.com, is also here as well. So you can chat with AJ. And AJ's dad is in chat. So say hi to AJ's dad, please. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Ted calling from Rochester, New York, TRKJ 2001 on the chat room.
Hoorah! Hoorah!
Hoorah!
Ted from Rochester.
Got a couple questions for you guys.
Hoorah!
We're heading down in early May. It's a surprise trip for my 8-year-old son, and we're staying at the All-Star Music Resort. My first question is, do they have coffee makers in the rooms at the All-Stars?
Coffee makers at the All-Star?
I don't think so.
I don't think the Value Resorts know.
Okay. And my second question is, I know the Animal Kingdom has the thing called the Picnic in the Park. My question is, I've been getting conflicting things on the different websites like Deb's site and stuff. As far as the type of food, I've seen one site has it's just sandwiches for a one tier and like a rotisserie chicken for the second. And I'm seeing on another website just the sandwiches.
Yeah, I'll let me answer this one. This is AJ from the Disney Food Blog. Picnic in the Park is all but dead at the moment.
Okay.
It's pretty much just at this point bunch of grab and go sandwiches. So I would say it's not one that you know they're saying seasonal. It may come back, but as far as I know, it's not something to plan on.
Wow.
Okay. Alrighty, that's it. Great hearing you guys. I saw you guys down at Mouse Fest back in 2008.
Wow.
Oh, cool. I love listening to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Talk to you guys later.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Let's keep things rolling with our next phone call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Rolling.
Hi, it's Allison.
Hey, Allison.
Allison. Oh, great. Allison.
I called almost a year ago.
Oh, yeah, Allison.
Happy anniversary.
Where you been?
And we've been waiting for the callback.
I called. My sister was getting married in August, and we were down. I was down for 2 weeks. She was down for 3 weeks.
Oh, cool.
And we had a ton of fun and ate some really good food. Woo. And now I want to pick AJ's brain a little bit. Because I'm headed to Disneyland for my birthday in June, and I want to know some opinions on some choices I'm thinking of for food in Disneyland.
Love it. Go.
Okay, so I'm going a Monday to Friday, which I'm hoping is late enough in June that I get fireworks and Fantasmic and all those fun things. I'm thinking, I know that on my birthday, which is Thursday the 16th, the park is closing early. And so I'm thinking I'm going to head over to Napa Rose and try and get a chef's counter reservation.
Yay!
That it kind of fits in with our theme. My sister's reception dinner was at Victoria and Albert's chef's table. So,
well, why wasn't I invited?
Well, we had 10 people. We were kind of maxed out on that one. We also had a satellite table in the dining room because we had too many people.
The kids' table. Is that the kids' table?
It actually wasn't the kids' table. It was the friends of the family table and the the new husband's brother's semi-girlfriend friend person who'd never met the family friends
before.
So, that's some table.
Awkward at all. But that's okay. I had the good table.
Good.
I'm thinking Napa Rose chef's counter. Since it's just me, I'm thinking Steakhouse 55, probably not the best idea, just because it's so much, it seems like it's so much easier to share there with the sidewalk.
That's a good point. I love Steakhouse 55. If I was going solo, I would totally book a table at Steakhouse 55, but I'm a steak girl, so, you know, that's just me.
Well, I did California Grill solo in August, and got a walk up at Chefs de France solo.
Did you really?
Nice.
Wow. I did. I walked up at 11, and they said, try us at noon, and we'll see if we can fit you in. And I walked up at noon, and the greeter girl tried to say, have a seat over there, and the manager went, no, just come with me, and took me straight into the back.
Yay!
Nice.
That actually ended up being the same day I was eating dinner at California Grill, so that was a delicious food day.
Yay.
Wow.
We also did Gico, and we started with Rose and Crown, and then had a private dessert party donated kindly by the Disney World Moms panel for letting them film my sister's crazy wedding.
That was nice. Nice.
Awesome. So where else are you thinking about in Disneyland?
I'm thinking I had a horrible experience when I was in Disney World. My camera broke when I did my solo lunch at the castle for princesses.
Aww.
And I didn't get any of my pictures.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking I definitely have to do a breakfast or lunch with the princesses at Ariel's Grotto.
Okay.
My sister and I ate there when we were there a couple years ago. It was pretty good for lunch. And I think I'll probably have to try that again.
Yeah, Ariel's Grotto is not too bad. It's not my favorite restaurant there, but it is definitely decent food. And you've got those princesses, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Did we lose her?
I'm still here.
Allison.
Lynn's here. Oh, I think we might have lost Allison.
Oh, sorry, Allison. So Ariel's Grotto, I ate there on part of the Fantasmic dinner package. It wasn't bad, actually. I like the appetizers better than I like the entrees, but I think maybe it was because I had so many of the appetizers that I was just full.
Yeah, well, Ariel's Grotto is definitely not too bad. You know what I find about Disneyland food is sometimes the entrees kind of feel like you're eating at an event, like you're eating at a conference.
Yeah, like conference chicken.
Right. Yeah. So I don't really get. Yeah. So I tend to do a lot of counter service in Disneyland because it's just better.
The kind of service is better. I like the I like the skewers that you get over at Bengal Barbecue.
Bengal Barbecue, yeah, no, they're fabulous. And you know, I find that the counter service stuff there is almost as good as like the Disney World table service stuff half the time.
I mean, Rancho del Zocalo. I mean, that'd be a table service in World.
Absolutely, absolutely, totally, and would. It is fantastic food too. So I'm actually writing a post about that right now, Len.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you can quote me on that. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, I will.
It's the Len and AJ show. Call Len and AJ now at 407-278.
I know. Why are the rest of us here? We'll just let y'all handle it, and I'll go eat my brownies.
Yeah, really?
You have brownies?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for sharing.
I'll be right over.
You're eating Girl Scouts?
Marissa's making brownies. No.
Marissa's making brownies?
Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, wah.
Special brownies?
Oh, fabulous, wow. Allison. Yeah, that was bad.
The hills are alive with sound.
Did we lose Matt?
Oh no!
Oh, sorry, I myself muted.
No wonder we've lost direction.
We have our next call on the line. Someone from New York, it looks
That's
like.
Westchester County.
Is it my dad?
No, hi guys, it's Aaron from the.
Aaron, Montana.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello,
Aaron.
Another major celebrity.
Wow.
Ooh, I have a food-related discussion topic for y'all.
Uh-oh.
I have been thinking lately about what is Disney missing theme-wise for food. And so an example I thought of, a question I got on the Mom's Panel a while ago was, does Disney have good deli? And I was thinking, you know, something fun like the Stage Deli or the Carnegie Deli would be a really good sort of theme restaurant. Another one I thought of was fondue, and I think there's probably timing reasons why they don't want to do that, but like, what else are they missing? What else can we prod them to try to do?
I like the idea of prodding.
Beg them.
You know, they don't do a lot of really, really excellent ethnic stuff. And I know, you know, they try, and I think they try really hard, but I think sometimes they can't make it stick because people just don't want to eat it a lot of the time. So, you know, oh, someone's talking about cheesesteaks. That would be nice. But, you know, I think kind of the whole ethnic options are just not as available there as they are off property.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I was hoping that they would do Indian, and they sort of got a little of that with Sanaa, but it's not really Indian. You know?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Silva?
I think AJ started to go towards this line of reasoning, and that is that they think about the universe of guests that they have, and you're always going to have a small portion who will want that spicy Indian food, and you'll have that portion who will not want that spicy Indian food. There's a reason why Morocco is, I mean, there's, you can almost always walk up to the Ashkeshesh and get a is it Ashkeshesh in Morocco? Yeah. So
Marrakesh.
They all sound the same to me. So so what I'm saying is that people expect that if you're going to go into a Moroccan pavilion restaurant, that you'll be subjected to spicy food, and that's far
that's
from
not
that
it. Spicy, that Morocco food, yeah.
No. So my point is, and I think AJ, you were sort of alluding to this, is that they need to cater to a very comfortable palate, so they're not going to do anything spicy. So that's why you don't find the real ethnic food down there, with one exception. I think that Beer Garden may be the one exception in World Showcase. Everything else is completely different. Now, why not have a menu that is two parts, bland and spicy, and then leave it up to the guests?
You could have like a Mission Space restaurant.
Exactly.
And then you can choose your card. You can choose your card when you walk in if you want the orange side or the green side.
That's a great idea.
Yuck.
They really did that. But if they ever, and I remember back in 1989 seeing artist rendition of the Taj Mahal Pavilion. And I was thinking back then, oh, that'd be great. I'd love to get Indian food down there. But I mean, Len, you know, you, Bob, and I—we've gone off-site for real good Thai food, and and you can't get any really good spicy food within the parks, and that's too bad. It really is.
Over in the chat, Jewel from MD is saying, you know, if you ask the chef, he'll probably make it as spicy as you want it or as different as you want it, or, you know, and I think that's definitely true. If you walk in and say, hey, you know, I would love to have something really, really ethnic or really authentic, I bet they would accommodate. But, you know, again, you don't want to have to walk into a restaurant and say that every time.
Right. Can you please make this authentic as opposed
to... Can you please make this good? Thanks.
Can you make this good?
I love that. It's a great question. Thanks for calling in with it, Aaron.
Okay. I miss you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Aaron, let's write about it. Let's write about it on the blog.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Aaron.
We'll talk about that.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Don't forget to join us in our chat room at wdwtoday.com. And we have yet another call right after Aaron from the Disney Moms panel. And we have the caller on the line now. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Margie.
Hey, Margie. Maggie? What was your name?
Margie.
Okay.
Margie. It's my
Margaret.
It's my
Margaret.
Mom.
I got it.
It's my mom, you guys. It's my mom.
Oh, you're...
You're on this show too?
She wasn't gonna tell us that. She was just
I know, she was just gonna ask. Okay, so we got my everybody. This is a family affair.
Wow.
I'm gonna start having the kids call in soon.
Hey mom, what's up?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a question for you.
All right.
I need to know if it's worth it. We've been going to the park for a long, long time, and I've always wanted to go to the Brown Derby, but my husband, your father, says it's too expensive. Is it worth it?
Slammed on the show. Oh, my gosh.
What?
That's funny. Trust me, my dad doesn't care if she said that on the show. You know what, Mom? I'll get you guys that for your anniversary in May.
Oh, all right. That sounds good.
No, but
good.
To answer
That's
the
one
question,
way of doing it.
To answer the question, though, I do personally. I think Brown Derby is very much worth it, and I know that there are some folks who disagree with me on that because I've seen some bad reviews coming out of Brown Derby recently. But I absolutely loved it
really, when
we went. So I'd love to hear what the rest of you guys think.
I love Brown Derby.
Cobb salad.
You liked it.
Yeah, the Cobb salad's great. They have great appetizers. They have a tuna. I forget how it's. What, it's an ahi tuna derivative. It's not ahi tuna specifically. It's a. What is it? It's like a.
No, it is ahi. It is ahi tuna.
I know, but it's like cube. It's not like slices or whatever. Like, I don't know how to. There's a word for it, but it doesn't matter. It's very good. There's a tuna appetizer. It's very good. They have a number of different things. They have a great drink selection over there.
Oh, yeah.
See, I love it because it's you step away from the park. You really are away from the park, and you can have a quiet meal, and you forget for a little bit that you're in a theme park.
I love it.
I like the bathrooms.
I guess I've always hoped that the ambiance is what I would want it to be, like old 1930s and 40s glamour.
Oh yeah.
Hollywood restaurant. That's what Humphrey
Bogart walking around in a white tuxedo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to wear your elbow gloves though, Mom.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. I have one more question.
Yeah.
What is the best seafood?
Oh, she only asks because she knows I don't.
New England.
I don't like fish.
Oh, well, I mean, in the Disney parks. What about living seas? I just want to know where to find good seafood. Again,
Mom, we'll go to Narcoossee's. We'll go to Narcoossee's and Flying Fish. Those are the two places we're going to go to get seafood.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. That's great. Thanks.
Love you.
Well, I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Nice. AJ's mom checking
See,
us out today.
You guys
nice.
Need to have me on the show more often. Then we just
You bring two listeners automatically. That's great.
I know.
Plus two.
We have our, let's go to our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Ann from Columbus, Ohio. How are you guys?
Hey, Ann. Are you related to AJ in any way?
I'm not. No, okay. I could be like, you know, a cousin twice removed, but I don't know, maybe not. So just have a question. My husband and I are going to the World in September, and we've never been there in September. We've only been in October and December in the past. So we're a little worried about the heat and humidity and love bug possibilities and monsoon and, you know, hurricanes and all that stuff. So if you can help ease our fears, that would be fantastic. We know the crowds are going to be low. We're going to be there the third week. So it should be, I think, the lowest of the month, if I did it right. Thank you, Len. So just wondering what your tips are with, you know, navigating around the heat and humidity, making the most of our time there. We're only going to be there for 5 days. So any tips you can give would be fantastic.
What are the specific dates again?
We're going to be there the 19th through the 24th.
Of September, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is really low crowds.
Yeah. Which we're excited about, but yeah. We don't want to die of heat exhaustion either.
No, it means it's not going to be like July. I mean,
okay, that's good.
You're talking about the second half of September. It'll be, it'll start cooling down then too. So what are the, let's see what the average temperatures are in Orlando.
It's still pretty hot in September, but I really think the thing you want to do is make sure you're there for park opening. Take advantage of, you know, everything you can do before, say, lunchtime, and then maybe get out of the parks around lunchtime, go back to your resort, relax, go to the pool or whatever, cool down. And the issue, though, is like unlike, say, July or August where the park hours are going to be long, in September you're going to have cut down park hours, so your break won't be that long. So instead of maybe coming back at 5 o'clock, you'll have to come back like at 3. But even so, I mean, you're, you know, I think the afternoon break is, during the warmer months of the year really makes a huge difference if you can get out of the heat for just a little bit. The other alternative is like you do like what I like to do like at the studios on those hot months is I'll do like the air conditioning tour where you go to like air conditioning to air conditioning to air conditioning, like American Idol Experience, the Muppet Vision to, you know, to Voyage the Little Mermaid to, you know, just keep doing all those, save all those attractions that have are indoor and long duration. For the afternoon.
Okay, excellent. Do you think it's worth getting one of those handheld fan things, or is that just more of a bother?
I would get one if you got one at like Walmart or something like that. I wouldn't pay the $20 it costs for one at Disney.
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, get them at Walmart. Yeah, Matt, you're right. I mean, the average highs. I'm looking at weather.com. The average highs are going to be around 90.
Yeah, it's still pretty. It doesn't really start cooling down until October, maybe even November at some time.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think it's funny, Lynn, that you sound amazed that Matt knows what the weather in Florida is.
I mean, but when he was within 1 or 2 degrees of the average high.
I'm just saying, the way you said it was just so funny.
I mean, Matt knew the weather. I know that he knows the weather. It's just to know it's that level of accuracy on, you know, off the top of his head. It was
his other job.
If you want to be the man, Lynn, you got to beat the man.
It's true. That's what I hear anyway. True words are never spoken.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you easing my fears. That's good.
Thanks, Ann.
No problem. Good luck.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Let's go to our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Larry.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Good.
What can you do for you tonight?
Hey, am I on?
Oh, yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, cool. Hey, marathon question. Last year, I did a marathon, stayed at the Poly.
And nice.
You know what, you guys? After staying in that room for that long, being prepared for the marathon, I was walking around the room going, is this really value or not? And, you know, you walk in the bathroom, it's got the wallpaper pulling off. And I'm thinking, wow, all the years that we stayed, I never once scrutinized staying at such a nice resort. So I'm doing the marathon again, and I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about the Hilton Bonnet Creek. I'm going to do the Goofy, so I don't know how it would be to catch the bus or maybe the beach club, but I heard the beach club, the bus that you have to get to the start leaves at 3 a.m. So what do you guys think?
It's going to be harder to get off-site transportation than on-site transportation. Although Bonnet Creek is a nice resort.
And the value is crazy. The difference is.
Oh, yes. You know, yeah, it's incredible, amazing. Isn't it?
It is.
You might want to check also the Waldorf, which is same area.
Right.
Yeah, check the Waldorf. See what that is, too, because the Waldorf is super nice as well.
Now, what do you think about for the bus?
Yeah, usually have some pretty good deals.
Yeah.
The deals are there. My main concern is doing the Goofy, how tough it'll be to wait around for the bus to get back.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing for bus transportation back.
That might be a taxi.
Take a cab. Take a cab.
I think Mike might give me a ride back or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's you're doing 13 and 26, so why don't you just walk the 5 miles?
There you go. Cool down.
What the heck? I mean, yeah. Come on, Larry.
Warm up, cool down. There you go.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I really think you know, just run with $20 or whatever, and then take a cab back as an option.
Just wave them back, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think just do that.
Alrighty. So nice, have you guys heard good stuff about the Hilton though?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a couple of friends stay there. I haven't stayed there. I've stayed at the Waldorf, but I think all those properties are nice.
AJ, you've stayed there, or you just visited?
I've stayed at the Waldorf. It is absolutely outstanding.
Nice.
And I like the restaurants.
And lots of choice. I guess lots of choice for foods then was before, because I kind of found out the Pauly, it was kind of rough. I had to order the kids' menu with just marinara pasta, which wasn't great for $25 or whatever it was.
You know, they do. They have a they have an Italian restaurant at the Hilton called La Luce by Donna Scala. It is a fabulous, fabulous Italian restaurant. I think it was like a Critics' Choice Award winner this year in Orlando. So you're going to get some great pasta there. So, you know, there's an option. And those two resorts are connected to one another. So whether you're staying at the Waldorf or the Hilton, you can get to that restaurant easily.
Okay, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Good luck, Larry.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we have lots of calls to get to, so keep them coming. We have our next call on the line, though. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Chris from Haddon County, New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Quick question for you guys. Real easy, I think. I'm heading down to the World in a month, and I'm staying at the French Quarter. My son is obsessed with trains. What's the easiest way to get to the monorail? Is it just take a bus to Epcot?
To the monorail, you could, you could go bus to the front of Epcot. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way.
Because the quickest way to get there?
Yeah, so the bus is going to let you off. You get off the bus, you turn left, and you walk towards the entrance of Epcot. There'll be a monorail station right there.
Great. That's all I needed. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Good luck.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Awesome. Yeah, that is it. Yeah, I was thinking go to the Magic Kingdom, but no, it's easier to go to Epcot.
The crowd at the Magic Kingdom would kill you.
Yeah, it's just a pain.
Getting across it, yeah.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Don't forget our chat room, wdwtoday.com. Join us in there and be a part of the show as well. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the line with us?
Oh, I finally got through. This is Lori from Chicago.
Lori!
Yay, Lori!
Well, of course, I wanted to call in because we're talking about food and being the Disney foodie that I am, and I respond to some of AJ's posts on Facebook and stuff. I figured I'd call in.
Yay!
But before I begin, I want to rebuke Matt for suggesting ABC Commissary as a place to eat in the studios.
I didn't want to do it, so I'm glad you're doing it.
Well, I mean, I ate there with him and Len and a bunch of people during reunion from last, 2009?
Uh-huh.
Yep. And they screwed up a hamburger. If you can screw up a hamburger, I wouldn't want to suggest the place for anybody.
Let me put it this way. The reason I like ABC Commissary is I like the chicken curry they have over there. The other dishes I really can't speak for. But that being said, it's still a better option than some of the other places in terms of like just family, you know, decent options across the board, even though they've slimmed it down quite a bit. Backlot Express is still my favorite. ABC Commissary is a decent choice. I still like both those way better than anything on Sunset Boulevard. Anything the Pizza Planet or any of the other options out there. So that's really why I recommend it.
Well, I think counter service at the studios is so bad that for me, the starring role sandwiches are pretty much the standby for me. I really don't think they can really mess those up.
Right.
But some of the reasons I was calling were I wanted to address the changes at Le Cellier and the fact that I have a theory about why they did this, and maybe it's a test for what they might plan on doing with other one table service credit restaurants. Dining plan, as you know, is making it so difficult for people to get reservations at places that, they're so overbooked on these. So I'm thinking that they made this two table service credits for dinner to ease up on the demand, because most people now are probably going to want to spread out their reservations and book the lunch credit since it's still one table service.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the pieces of thinking there too.
Well, I mean, I think the real model here we would look at is what they did with Cinderella's Royal Table. Remember, that was like crazy gangbuster busy. And what did they do? They kept on raising the price and raising the price and raising the price. And now it's not as difficult as it was. You know, I remember in 2000, when we started this podcast. Remember that was, you'll hear us make references to that, to Cinderella's Royal Table being so difficult to get a reservation for, but it's not nearly as busy as it was, you know, 5 years ago.
Yep. Especially
I remember,
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I remember people online asking other people to help them make reservations for breakfast there when breakfast was the only princess meal.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they added Akershus in there, so or however you pronounce that. So you've got another princess option now.
Akershus is okay. I liked it better when it wasn't a princess meal. I actually liked the food there.
Oh.
So my other comment that I wanted to make now that I mentioned Le Cellier was the fact that I'm finding that the restaurants at the Swan and Dolphin are outshining a lot of the restaurants at just the regular Disney-owned restaurants. Now that they take tables in Wonderland, I'm finding that I'm eating at the Swan and Dolphin places more and more.
Mm-hmm. I think they're great restaurants over there, and they're very easy to get into. It's like nobody knows they're there. So, you know, I'll go to Il Molino. I'll go to Blue Zoo. I also really like – I just headed to Kimono's for the first time, and I thought that was a load of fun. So, you know, you've got some really good options over there. Fresh is fabulous for lunch. So I dig that too, Lori. I love those. And I also want to let you know I'm reviewing my dinner at Le Cellier, my signature dinner at Le Cellier tomorrow morning on the blog. So that's
Ooh.
That's gonna
oh, that's cool.
gonna be yeah. So that's gonna be up there is what we thought, you know, about it.
Are you reviewing the empty seats too?
Poor Newell.
We were seated at a table for four, and I had a little area all set aside, a little shrine to Newell over there. Oh, Lori, cool. I stood Newell up at Le Cellier once.
I heard.
Yeah.
We all heard about that.
We all heard about
that. Oh, have I mentioned that? I'm sorry.
But yeah, I think the Swan and Dolphin restaurants are fantastic and definitely worth a trip over there.
I'm also one of those people that takes pictures of my food.
Me too.
I've been posting pictures of food from my Disney trips on Facebook and on some message boards at times. And so it's sort of like a little food review, but through photos. That's why I'm sort of, you know, relating to the whole Disney food blog because you're like, you know, a kindred spirit.
Yeah, I know you well. I saw your name in the chat. I'm like, awesome, Lori's here. Great.
So that's why I was very excited that you were the surprise guest this week.
Oh, good.
Anyway,
thanks for calling in.
Yay. All right, you take care, and I will see you online.
All right, thanks, I'll see you at the world someday soon.
Yay.
See you in chat, Lori.
Awesome.
407-278-5939. And we got to take a quick break to mention our sponsor for today's live show, which is AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling and social challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 129,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And we always thank All Ears for their terrific support of the podcast, so definitely give them a visit. Let's go to our next caller, and it is Jennifer from Nebraska. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have kind of a restaurant food question that maybe everybody can answer. In the last 4 months or so, I discovered that I have hypertension. So, you know, I got to cut back on the sodium, cut back on the cholesterol, cut back on the fats, watch my weight, you know, watch things, lose weight, the whole fun health aspect of life.
Right.
And we're heading down to Disney World in June. And so I'm trying to figure out, I know that I can try to be healthy, you know, eat grapes and other fruits at the stands rather than grabbing the ice cream bar, the Mickey Rice Krispie bar. But what kind of things do I need to maybe be aware of when it comes to eating at the table service restaurants, even the counter service, some of the things that maybe I need to know about so I'm not really eating unhealthy for that 10 days that we're there?
Wow. You know, something that a Disney World chef once told me is, because I actually asked him specifically, how do I make something like grilled chicken taste good at my house? When I'm making grilled chicken, it always tastes bad. But when I get it at a restaurant, it always tastes good. And he says, well, we put a lot of salt and butter on stuff, you know?
Okay.
And that's pretty much going to, you know, that's what happens in restaurants to make food taste good. There's not a lot of other ways to make it tastes fantastic, then exactly. then add flavor like that to it. So, you know, you're going to be up against that without a doubt. So, you know, the thing I always tell people to do is, you know, really do talk to the chef. Call the special diets line. We have that information on my blog and I can get it to you. Okay. Also send me an email, but call the special diets line. Let them know, here's what I'm up against. I want to eat good food while I'm, you know, at least at table service restaurants.
Right.
And the chef will come out. They're very happy to come out and chat with you and talk to you about, you know, what can you eat? What can't you eat? And this is probably stuff you already know, but it's, you know, it's good. A lot of people are too scared to do it. They're afraid to do it or they think they'll feel weird doing it, but you won't at all. The chefs are fantastic and they want to give you something that's delicious and good for you. So definitely have the chef come out and even if you don't call the special diets line, when you sit down at your table, tell your server, hey, I'd love to talk to the chef and talk to him a little bit about some special diet needs I have. So that's definitely something to do. Counter service is going to be a little more difficult for you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
A lot of that is mass produced. You know, I mean, it just automatically is that mass produced. They've got, you know, 1,000 people in Pecos Bills at this, you know, at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we need to get that food out now.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have a bigger problem at counter service than you will at like the full sit down restaurants. Those are harder for them to do, but they do accommodate you over there. I've seen plenty of times where people who, you know, I have friends who are vegans, and you know, you go there and they have the manager come out. And it'll take longer, obviously, but they do work with you. It's not like you have no choice at all.
Okay, right, and you know, I still am going to have, you know, the funnel cake at over there in Liberty Square, and I'm going to have some of that naughtier stuff because I am on vacation. I am at Disney World. And, you know, it's not Disney without a funnel cake.
I like that you say you're going to have it because
I'm going to have to be naughty at least, you know, maybe once every other day or so because it's just not a vacation otherwise.
Right.
But I want to be able to at least have an idea when I go in and say, okay, yeah, this is a health issue. At home, I was really good. I really behaved myself. My doctor was proud of me.
Right.
You know, I really embraced it. Oh, but now I'm on vacation. I don't want to suddenly get headaches and get really sick because I'm choosing to not even try to behave myself.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's that fear factor going into vacation.
Yep, exactly. And I think, so arm yourself a little bit too. Have some good for you snacks that you actually bring with you. Like my husband and I have protein bars. They have these Special K protein bars that are really, really good. We just bring those with us so that we don't get so hungry that we just devour a huge, you know, thing of French fries. So, you know, that's a big thing you can do to actually keep yourself from getting your eyes bigger than your stomach is stay a little bit full, you know, like that. That helps.
And I love the fact that Disney is now having an option. Not only can you have the Mickey, Rice Krispie treat and ice cream bar, but you can also have the grapes and the banana and the orange and the. So I know that I'm not going to be without options.
Right, it's just making yourself
do
it.
Eat. Right. Exactly. I'm just always going to be perfect about it, and I'm going to have to know that that's okay to not be perfect. But to have some idea, especially when it comes down to actually sitting down and eating, that. I have options to behave myself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's, and you know, always, always, always don't get too hungry because then that's when you're going to make the worst choices
That's when that, you know, ice cream bar is going to look really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, good luck to you, my friend. Teach me.
Okay. No problem. I'll try to do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Jennifer.
All right. Thanks.
407-278-5939 is in front of me. Actually, you know, Scopi, you were on, I don't know if you still are on, but you were on Weight Watchers for a while. How did you find eating at Disney World? Was that a bigger challenge than you thought it was going to be, or?
Well, the thing is that you don't know, AJ talked about, you don't know what they're cooking all the entrees in.
Right.
There's a reason why they taste good, and it's because it's fat. You ever see that Seinfeld episode where they think they're eating the fat-free yogurt, and they say, how could it be so good without the fat? And
right.
It definitely fat makes it taste better. So when you're on Weight Watchers and you go to Disney, it's very difficult. You try to look at portions and try to you get a pretty good idea regarding what your limits are every day, and you just be very, very careful. The other thing is that when you're at Walt Disney World, you're walking a lot. You're walking, I don't know, 6 to 8 miles a day. So you're trying to balance your output as well as your input. But it's very, very difficult when you know that you can only get certain things at Disney World and you can't get them anywhere else. But after a while, you need to be on Weight Watchers for about 2 or 3 months to get an idea regarding what you can eat and what you can't eat. And for many people, what they do is they'll order entrees and they'll eat just half of what's in their dish, and they'll stay away from buffets. You know, they'll do anything but buffets, and that's the only way you can do it, really.
We've got our next caller on the line. It's Mark on the line. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. It's Mark Lorenzo. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Good. Lorenzo.
Hey, I've been busy, but just calling in to, since we're talking about food tonight, and wanted to ask you guys, what's your favorite restaurant that's in a resort? Because I know that sometimes people overlook the resort restaurants because they're so busy having fun in the parks, and you know, they kind of keep themselves to the options that are in the parks. But there's so many incredible resort restaurants, and I think my favorite one is Kona Cafe in the Polynesian. I have a lot of favorite ones, but that's the one off the bat because they have great value for breakfast, and then, you know, the other meals are great too as well, and the desserts are fabulous. So I just wanted to get your opinions on maybe your favorite restaurant in resort.
That's not bad. What do you think, Len? What's your favorite resort restaurant?
Favorite resort restaurant?
Not a bad choice. So I'm curious what yours is.
Favorite resort restaurant. What kind of budget do I have?
Any budget. Any restaurant.
Anyone. Any budget.
I like Citrico's at the Grand Floridian. I like Ohana. If I'm just in the mood for meat or chicken wings, let's face it.
And paying for 15 of your best friends
or 22, whatever. Yeah. What else is good? I had a really good meal at Artist Point back in December. That was really good, and I was a bit surprised about it because the last time that we had all eaten there, it wasn't great, but we were seated in a different section this time, and I think the food was fabulous. So one of those three, I think.
What about you, Noel?
I like the Artist Point.
Noel, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with what Len said. Artist Point, we had a meal from there, not in there, but from there during reunion. It was much better than I ever remember it. So I agree with Len, and I'm also a big fan of Kona. Not to mention Ohana, but...
Oh, Kona for breakfast isn't bad at all.
Oh, wow. Mine is a tie between Kona and Bon Famille's at Port Orleans.
Oh, I haven't been there in years.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Annette?
Well, I got to say Kona for any meal, even if you're stopping in for just desserts. I mean, just all day long, Kona's got great food, great choices. And I can't leave off Jiko because I love to go to Jiko.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, AJ? The only opinion that really matters.
Yeah.
I am so glad to hear you guys say an Artist Point because I was down on Artist Point for a long time because I had a meal there a couple years ago that just really didn't hit the spot. But we dined there in December too, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
and they have this butternut squash risotto, or at least they did then, that was phenomenal. I just wanted to eat more and more and more of it. But so Artist Point is coming up. It's doing well, and I would say I always like Jiko. I always like Jiko. So, and California Grill's a fun one too. I always recommend that one because of the atmosphere and the fireworks and the view and all of that. So I like that one too. But if you're gonna go, if you want to eat just cheap food that's really good, go to Beaches and Cream.
Another good option.
Well, thank you guys, and I want to give a big shout out to AJ for her new book. It's pretty awesome.
Yay. Thank you so much, Mark Lorenzo.
I love it.
Thank you.
I put it off, actually, and I use it for reference, so it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, guys, for everything you guys do.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
407-278-5939. Let's go to North Carolina. It's Dan on the line. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. It's Dan from Cary, North Carolina, the library guy.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I got a couple questions for you. We are flying down for our anniversary trip, first week of May, and then we'll be driving back doing the snowbird rental car idea, which works out pretty well.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get a suggestion of where to stay on the way back for an overnight, because we'll be leaving like mid-afternoon to leave the park. So what is a good stopping point, and are there any hotel recommendations for those who've made that drive?
Ooh, Yemisi, South Carolina. There's a...
where?
There's a Yemisi, South Carolina. There's a Holiday Inn Express, I think. Let me... Okay. Last time Hannah and I did that, we...
don't remember passing that in South Carolina, but okay.
It's such a major city in that. How could you really miss that one?
Hold on one second.
You know, I was thinking, since it's your anniversary, while he's looking that up, that, you know, Savannah's not too far off the beat path.
Well, what one's looking that up?
Oh, it's the...
that's good.
Okay, there are two. It was in Walterboro. Sorry, I was off by...
And remember, you're listening to the man who thinks that walking the Value Resort stroll at midnight is romantic. So just...
It is. It's, you know. All I'm saying is it worked for me. The Holiday Inn Express Walterboro. It's about halfway.
Okay, cool. All right. And then since we will have a rental car this time, we've never really eaten off-site before, so any good, reasonably priced off-site places to eat that hopefully would be vegetarian friendly as well?
Yes. King O Falafel. it's vegetarian because falafels are vegetarian food.
Okay.
That's a great place. It's on 192. It's very close to Disney. It's not very far.
Is that where we ate, Matt? Me and you?
No, we ate a different place.
Oh, okay.
This place is that place wasn't bad, but this place is better, so I wouldn't recommend that.
You should take me to the bad places.
The other place, Dan, that's not bad. They just opened up in the old in the shopping center where Crossroads. They have that buffet that only does soups and salad. Sweet Tomatoes.
Okay.
And that's a good option for vegetarians as well.
Yep. Yeah, we've got one of those here too. Okay. All right, cool. And we'll be there the beginning of May, and currently scheduled for the Hollywood Studios on May 16th is the new character meet and greet for Phineas and Ferb. Any chance of them being there earlier than the 16th?
You know, I wouldn't bet on that. It's weird. With attractions, you can always almost, 4 days before, you would think that you'd see the soft opening. But for characters, it's very much not the case at all. I mean, it may be a day before if you're lucky or two, but... Honestly, I would not bet on it. I would bet on waiting on the 16th.
Okay.
Just the experience that I've had. Well, so.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. And Jen says hi to everybody. So
hey, Jen.
Keep listening.
Thanks, Dan and Jen.
All right.
407-278-5939. And our good friend Steve Medina's on the line. Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How's it going, Steve?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got a couple questions. First of all, remember before in Club Cool, they used to have this really cold thing going on there where there was like ice hanging down from the walls and stuff like that?
Yeah, that was like through the entrance.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that?
They got rid of it. They used to have like that. It used to be like, it almost was like, Len, do you remember when SeaWorld at Wild Arctic?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. But yeah, it basically was like almost like you're walking in an igloo, and there was a snow tractor or whatever in front of it, and that used to be the theme way back in the day, but they wanted to update it and they went for a more contemporary look, I guess.
I bet it was because
the nasty and brown.
It was all nasty. There was always a cast member out there with a shovel and a brush trying to get it out of the way. It was just nasty.
I was like the best place to cool off.
It was probably a liability, too, because everybody would slip and slide.
Oh, yeah. Listen, my other question is, I'm finally getting to do something at Disney that I've never done that I've been wanting to do. I'm going to finally get to golf there in September.
Nice.
And yeah, but they don't have the, they're not accepting tee times yet. Do you know what the fees are with either a DVC discount or with a pass holder rate discount or something around that time?
Mark, Steve, I would recommend checking out a site called wdwgolf.com.
Yeah, I was just pulling them up right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not at least September, it's like omitted. And I don't know if it's because they're not letting people on the course in September, because in October is the tournament.
That might
but,
be.
I don't think they're going to use all of the golf courses.
Which trail is it, Steve? Which course, I mean?
Well, normally they use the Magnolia and I think the Palm, but I couldn't get rates for Lake Buena Vista or the other one either.
The rates for Disney's Osprey Ridge, Palm, Magnolia, and Lake Buena Vista, they have rates for Monday through Sunday, and then they have a daily rate Monday through Sunday, and then a two-round pass. And then it obviously varies. What dates are you going, Steve?
I'm going to probably play on a Saturday. It's the weekend of Labor Day. We're going to go on the Disney cruise, but we're going to get there a couple days earlier so we can golf.
Okay, so you're looking at probably October.
And we want to play on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the dates here. I'm trying to pull it. October, because they have dates from February 1st to April 14th, and then October 5th through January 31st, but nothing in between, like September.
Yeah,
in that case, I think Google's going to be your friend, Steve.
Huh?
I think Google's, yeah, you're going to have to look around. I'm sure it's either on the Disney site or you can always call them, of course, you know.
I did call. They said that they don't know what the rates, they didn't know what the rates were yet because they can only book 90 days out. They don't know what the rate is yet for September.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can probably look at the rates of what they are like for 90 days out, whatever they are currently. And I mean, it's going to be within 10%, I would think. It's not like they're going to double the price or anything like that.
Probably. And you know what the discount is normally? What is it, like 10% or something?
Yeah, I think something like that. I've only been to, the one that's closed now, Osprey Ridge. But they used to have, I wonder if they still have it. Len, do you know if they still have for the annual, for pre-annual pass holders? Was it Oak Trail, the walking course that you got for free because they closed Pleasure Island?
No,
I think so. I remember hearing something about that, but
yeah, that was the deal. Like, I don't know if they still have that, but that was one deal that they were doing for a while. I'm not sure if you're premium annual pass, Steve, or not, but anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, looking forward to the baseball season around the corner.
That's right. Go Marlins.
No kidding. Okay, my wife got me tickets to go see the Yankees and the Red Sox up in Fenway Park the first week of April. So I'm looking forward to that also. I'm going to be in Scopus at the end of the country.
Wow.
What date is that? What date, Steve?
The 9th,
ooh,
which I believe is a Saturday.
I think I'm going the 10th I'm running in a race.
All right. All right, guys. Well, listen, have a good evening, all right? Thanks a lot for everything.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care, Steve.
407-278-5939. When we have another call on the line. Of course, don't forget we have the illustrious AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com on the show with us, and AJ's parents also.
So. Hi, Marty. Hi, Marty.
I don't know what illustrious means, really.
It means good.
Good.
Good. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Is this Autumn?
Hi, this is...
No. Go ahead.
This is Brenton from Columbus, Ohio.
It's my brother. Just kidding.
So two random questions. First, my wife and I go to WDW every year. And last year we were there and we were exiting Epcot. And some of the greeters asked us to take some surveys about the World Showcase and the possibility of new country going in. I wonder if you guys had any details on possibilities of, obviously, the much rumored new country at Epcot.
Liechtenstein. No, I'm sorry, Vatican City. No, go ahead.
Oh, that's awesome.
San Marino, exactly.
Equatorial Africa? Yeah. We're still waiting on that?
What's that, Mike?
Equatorial Africa?
Yes, we haven't really heard, I mean, we've heard rumors here and there. There's one episode where we were dead wrong on one of them, but
Australia.
Sure.
But nothing I would bet the farm. At this point, really, it's one of those rumors like the monorail expansion. Unless we hear Disney say something, you have to just assume it's not happening.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, second little random question here. So if you were anywhere, any of the parks, and you had to do the rides or attractions blindfolded, what do you think the best ride or attraction is in terms of just being able to listen to it? So
sounds
the
dangerous.
Best or the most effective musical score or... just using your ears and your senses.
Wow.
Without sight.
Ooh.
Sounds dangerous?
No.
Because it's already in the dark.
Dinosaur.
And I guess Soarin' can't really count because obviously that's an overuse of the
sense of smell, but.
AJ, you like dinosaur?
Yeah, because I usually close my eyes in that one anyway.
That's true. It would be much different. What do you think, Juan?
I'm thinking Spaceship Earth.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Because it's got the musical score. It's got smells.
And you can just envision Scopa in every single scene.
It's got audio. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can just yeah. Exactly.
Picture him and everywhere. That's not a bad one, actually.
No.
Yeah, Spaceship Earth is a good point. Actually, a good friend of mine, Bruce Broughton, did the score for that, and he's done a number of the other scores throughout Epcot and a number of the parks around the world, actually. So he's
a great
composer.
Very good.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Brad.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. We'll go to our next call. We have someone on the line with us. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Oh, Adam.
Hello, caller.
Willow?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Joe? Good. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Cool. Hey, we were at the Disney World last month, and we did not get to Starring Roles to get one of those Butterfinger cupcakes.
That's sadness. It hurts my heart.
Yeah, Len ate them all.
Kind of. I jokingly suggested in chat that we could mail order one, and now I'm wondering, can we do that? Can we call them and get one shipped?
No, they don't really ship food.
But Matt
can
ship
from Disney World.
You can get
Matt. There's a side business for you.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, can you pick me one up? I'll give you my address.
But actually,
me too. Me too, Matt.
Yeah, me too.
I know you can order baby cakes. We'll deliver, but not Disney though.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna have to try that.
If you find a way, let us know.
Yeah, really? That would be so cool.
Okay, well, thanks.
No problem.
Yeah.
He sounds so dejected.
Yeah, he sounded upset. Come on, man. Help the guy out. You're there every week.
Let's keep things rolling here with our next call here on the March 2011 live show. Hi, are we speaking with?
Autumn?
Willow?
Hey, this is Scott from North Carolina.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
This is Lynn's neighbor.
Yes, this is Lynn's neighbor.
Actually, I used to have a neighbor named Scott, but he moved to Charleston. Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, Lynn has been kind enough to answer a few of my emails and several phone calls and texts. He probably saw the number come up and thought, oh, God, not this guy again.
No, it's absolutely fine.
We are headed to Disney in May. Should get there May 14th, and we're excited to be there the following weekend on the first weekend of Star Wars weekend.
Yep.
We're staying at Port Orleans Riverside, and I just listened to the show with Yeehaw Bob, and
that was
hilarious.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
Absolutely hilarious. I'm a CPA, so this time of year I kind of walk around like a zombie, and that kept me awake driving back from a client meeting. So thanks, guys.
You have to go see him live. You got to go see him live.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's actually my question. How early do we need to show up? I think he starts at 8:30. To get a good seat, how early should we show up?
If you want pick of the litter, 7. If you want just this table anywhere, 7:30. But you definitely got to get there early because by 8 o'clock when he gets – or 8:30 when by the time he gets out there, I mean the tables are usually full. So like when we go down there and we want to see Yeehaw Bob, we'll make sure to be down there. I will get there at 7 o'clock and just, you know, have a drink or something like that and enjoy myself. But 7:30 is what I would recommend if you really want to make sure you get a seat, because you can enjoy it standing up, but it's a long time. You definitely want – it's much more enjoyable if you can sit down for a little bit. Okay. So I would say 7:30.
Okay, and we have – our kids are 11, 9, 7, and 4. Are they going to
– they'll love
they
it.
Be okay in there?
They'll love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Especially the earlier show, the 8:30 show.
Yeah.
That seems to get a lot more younger crowd.
Yeah, the first set is more – it's not aimed at kids necessarily, but it's definitely catered a little bit to them. It's not that the other kid shows aren't like X-rated or anything like that. But they tend to – Bob tries to put out a lot of stuff for the kids in the first set. But they'll love it, every bit of it, guaranteed.
Oh, great. Do they serve dinner there? Can we get a dinner reservation at, say, 7 or 7:30?
No, it's just the bar. I think you might be able to get like a little food here and there, but honestly, I mean, not really. There's no food there.
Yeah, you can. There's a. They have an appetizer menu at the River Roost, but you can also eat at the at Boatwright's in
right next door, right?
At Port Orleans Riverside. Yeah, so you can eat there first and then head over into River Roost Lounge to see Bob.
Oh, great! Great, thanks, guys.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
And, you know, I watched. What's the name of that movie? It's a Wonderful Life again this Christmas, and it occurred to me, you know, every time the unofficial guide is mentioned, an angel.
That's nice. What happens.
Yeah. Is it an angel?
Yeah, exactly.
thanks, guys. I really enjoy the show.
Thanks. Cool.
Thanks, Scott. See you.
407-278-5939. Let's take a call from the great state of Florida, specifically Central Florida.
That's
hey,
not autumn.
Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Cheryl from Orlando.
Hey, Cheryl.
First, I want to say I hit the jackpot tonight. I went to Gasparilla Grill for a counter service, and I got Chef TJ.
Wow, nice.
Ooh, wow. Way to go.
So that was awesome. I also have to settle in. I got the best value on property back in February. Is I got pasta for $4, and you should see the plate of pasta I got for $4.
Really? Where at?
At Artist Palette, the council
really?
Service. I had said
over
to them
in Saratoga.
I had said to them my allergies, and they said we'll make you pasta. Well, I figured, you know, we're getting a small little plate of pasta, and
all
right. They with a huge plate of pasta. He must have cooked the whole box, I figure.
Nice.
You got to quit, Cheryl, because everyone's just going to go eat with you all the time.
I do have to say about the calories thing. I was also watching my calories. I did have one chef say to me, I'm not going to work with you, and you just have to watch your own calories.
Wow.
Really?
Fluke. Yeah, I really think that was a fluke. Like, again, I had also the chef at Les Elliott telling me why is eating a steakhouse for a vegan, but I think I've run into a couple flukes here and there, but I mean, most of all, most of the chefs will work really well with you, and they seem to understand everything. I mean,
Absolutely. Cool. Thanks for checking in, Cheryl.
Thanks, right, Cheryl. Bye.
See you, Cheryl. Talk to us today.
Bye.
407-278-5939. Let's go back to North Carolina. It's Jay on the line. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. What can we do for you?
North Carolina is rolling, maybe not in basketball.
That's right, yeah.
But we are rolling tonight
another.
On the call. Yes.
Well, I was calling, actually. Annette, I wanted to tell you thanks for something specific you suggested. A while back, I had called. Our family went in late January. And on some suggestions you made, we were able to be train family at Magic Kingdom on our daughter's 8th birthday.
Oh, nice. Good, good, good.
So it was fantastic. Of course, it makes you feel good as a parent. You can screw up a lot of other birthdays. You can always point back to that one. We got that one right.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's all documented,
what do you,
right?
What do you want?
You do have it documented.
That's right. We definitely did. And we, our daughter, I had asked y'all about hair braids a while back, and our daughter got hair braids, and she loves them so much. She still got them in about 2 months later. I think they're coming to their end, but I'm prepared for Lynn. You mentioned one time it'll be like an hour to 20 hours to take it out. So I'm not in a big hurry to get that out.
Exactly.
So, I was going to tell y'all another thing too, that I had a gratifying moment with a family member who, we were there together. I had kind of said, you got to get up and go early in the morning. And they were getting kind of a little tired of it when I kept saying it over and over. Then we went to the studios one morning and, you know, there's the mad dash for the, fast lines for Toy Story Mania, and finally she pulled me aside and said, okay, all right, I thought you were just nuts and crazy, but now I understand you do have to get up and get going earlier. So that was kind of gratifying to have somebody to say that, because it's just, I mean, what's it like when it's really, really crowded, though, and over there at the, that's an honor of you, Matt, over there is an honor of you. What's it like over there when it's really, really crowded at Toy Story Mania and the seasons of the year where it's really crowded?
I mean, you're just going to see waits that are going to be exceeding 2 hours easily. I mean, really a wait of, you know, over 200 minutes. I mean, that's really like what the worst somewhere in that range where you're looking at a 200 plus minute wait. It's just, you know, it just continues like on during, basically, if you were looking at like a line chart of what the wait times would be during a slower time of the year, you might see more of a peaks and valleys. But during the busier time of the year, it's just a huge peak. It's more of a plateau, really. It just stays.
What's the longest you've ever waited for that, given that you go often?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm jaded at this point. I'm like, oh, more than 60 minutes, I'm not waiting in that line. I think about 60 is probably about as much as I've ever waited in the standby line. It's just, you know, either I'd go fast pass or I'd wait for, you know, the slower times of the year. I used to just, you know, like they had events, the hard ticket parties, or, you know, like Tower of Terror, used to ride that over and over again. But now I just wait for Becky Menken to come up with a great event for us to go to, like the reunion, and then I don't have to wait in line at all.
Becky, run a Toy Story Mania, so I don't have to wait in line. Exactly.
Well, I was calling actually with two other quick ones. We did a lot of sit-down meals at our last trip, and we loved them. However, y'all are right. They just take so long. You have a great meal, but they just chew up so much of your time. Like, and we have ADRs, and we have them at good times, and any ways you've ever heard of on how to speed up, or ever thought of on how to speed up sit down meals, or you just gotta say forget it. We're just gonna do more counter service meals.
What do you think, AJ, about that?
I would say go at the beginning of the meal time. So go when it's not crowded. So for lunch, go at like 11 a.m. For dinner, go at 4 p.m. And tell your server when you sit down, listen, we want this to be as quick as possible. If there's any way you can help us, you know, that would be great. And they'll usually, they want you out of there so they can turn that table over. So,
sure.
You know, they'll probably comply. The only place that might not happen is at the signature meals. They might want to... you know, they want to stretch out those meals because they want you to feel like you're comfortable to stay and enjoy yourself. So, but you can still tell your server, hey, we want to bust out of here and get back to the ride. So, I don't think I'd give up a table service meal because it takes a lot of time. That's just me, but definitely let them know, hey, you know, let's quicken this up.
So, and we were, because we were there for 10 days and it's remarkable how 10 days is still not long enough to get to half of the stuff you'd actually want to get to, which I think that's a good thing if you're patient, you know. But and I had one other thing, just something to put in a note somewhere, Matt, and an idea for a show sometime. I'd love to hear it. Best repeat rides. You know, when you're there for a little while, you ride certain rides and you've done it, you know. But then there's other rides that you could do them over and over and over and over, and they don't diminish in terms of your interest over the course of a week or 2 weeks or whatever. So, anyways, Well, nice. Free up the airlines. Thanks for letting me call in. Love the show, y'all.
Thanks, Jay. It's not a bad show today. We should add that to the imaginary list of show topics that we don't keep. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Autumn.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Leanne. What's up?
I'm just calling about Night of Joy. I was just wondering if you guys had any ideas about, you know, what's coming up for this year.
For Night of Joy, is that what you said?
Yeah. I checked the website, and I don't know if you guys have got any insight. I keep waiting for the website to come up with something like the Disney website, but I'm not sure if you guys have got any inside scoop on it.
I have. I mean, now that it's out of the studios, it's kind of off my radar personally, so I haven't seen much about it. It's still in, what is it, September?
Yeah, it's 9th and 10th. I think it's like Magic Kingdom.
I mean, the thing is, even with that, all these events like Night of Joy and to a lesser extent, you know, like the Star Wars Week and stuff like that, a lot of it is about booking. Mm-hmm. And when they're dealing with that, they'll announce dates somewhat in advance, but the actual acts and stuff like that, I mean, you're probably looking at a announcement time frame closer to the summertime just because they don't like to like put out piecemeal. They like to get the whole schedule out. So what I would do is, I'm sure, like I said, like allears.net has lots of good information about what they've done in previous years. And you get a kind of an idea. Because there's definitely some acts that return from year to year. But I would probably say you're going to have to wait closer to the summer probably before an announcement will be made about that.
Oh, yeah. How does it work, though, as far as the Night of Joy stuff? Does it, I know they closed down the Magic Kingdom early because they're going to have the shows on from like 7 till like 12:30 in the morning or something. But how, like, where are the various stages that they've got for, and how does it work? Like, do you get a special bracelet, or do you have any idea?
Yeah, they have. I mean, it's almost like a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party or anything like that, where it's like that kind of a special admission. I can tell you what they did at the studios, but it doesn't really do you much good at the at Magic Kingdom. Has anyone been to Night of Joy? I haven't been there.
No.
I've been to Night of Joy, but I've been to Grad Nights where they do, you know, stages. So they'll do a stage in Tomorrowland. They'll do a stage in What they do a stage on Main Street? No, Tomorrowland, I think, is where most of the stages are.
Did you see that there's they've announced some acts already? Friday, September 9th, Skillet, Newsboys, Jeremy Camp, Saturday, Mercy Me, Toby Mac, Jars of Clay.
No Striper?
Yeah, that's...
Don't laugh. I'd fly down to see Striper.
I'm impressed to even know who that is.
Oh, me? Oh, are you kidding? Soldiers Under Command, baby.
But yeah, what I would do is go check out our good friends at allears.net. They have information from past years, and I'm sure the layout in terms of where the stages are and everything will be exactly the same. I really don't see that changing. So that's probably be the best thing to do.
Excellent. Good. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your advice and all that. So look forward to hearing some more questions coming up on the podcast.
Cool.
Thanks
for calling in.
See you at the Striper Show.
Thanks a lot, guys. Pardon me?
See you at the Striper Show.
Oh,
where's FedEx?
Don't laugh. I'm a big fan.
I'll hold my breath for that one there.
They used to play there. They used to play for Night of Joy.
Oh, well, how many years ago is that? I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time I even heard their music.
Oh, they just released a new album. That's why I mentioned it, because they're actually touring now. Yeah, they're touring now on the new album.
Oh, my goodness.
So. Oh, yeah, check it out. It's actually really good. I'm a big fan, so.
I'll have to check it out. I haven't heard their music for like 100 years.
No, it's good. So. It's an album of covers. It's really good.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding. I'm a big fan. I really am.
I thought you were doing it at time, so.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks.
Good luck, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
See you. 407-278-5939. We're being joined this evening by AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com, who has her new ebook out, the Disney Food Blog Guide to Walt Disney World Dining, which is available for purchase now. Definitely worth checking out. Bill, you still okay?
Yeah, I'm getting a real... You guys are really coming in pretty skippy.
Oh, sorry.
You want to restart real quick? Because
we'll start real quick. Quick break.
Quick one. Break. Let's do a quick
everyone
break.
Everyone take five.
I don't know about that. Thanks. I'm back. We're still live, so watch your language.
And we are almost all back, waiting for Mr. Scope, but I think we're all back. Is it any better now, Mike?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. I think we've got our next call from Florida.
That's not one of them.
Hey, guys. It's Carrie from Titusville. How are you?
Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Carrie.
Hello.
Hey, Carrie.
I have a question here that I had to write down because every time I keep missing all the live shows. So, but last time I was on the Disney Dream, so I guess that was kind of a good excuse. But I figure I wanted to know if the unofficial guide or any of you guys have ever gone and measured the height, the little sticks that they measure height by. And I was wondering because we went to Disney and we live in the area, so we go all the time, but... Now, my daughter was tall enough, and we went over to the little measuring stick, and they said she wasn't. And for us, it didn't really matter, but I was thinking about families that, you know, they get to the doctor, and they're like, hey, you know, you're going to be tall enough to ride, you know, Space Mountain next time. And then they get there, and they tell them no. So I didn't know if you guys had ever measured that.
No, that's an awesome idea, though. I might see if we can do that. So it would bring, like, a pocket tape measure or something?
Yeah, I thought about doing it. Then I figured people might look at me weird, and I figured you guys have probably got enough weird looks going around with, you know,
footboards.
Let Lynn
do it.
Yeah. Time.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong with that?
I can tell you, though, and it personally happened to my family, my youngest mm-hmm. was tall enough to go on Thunder Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else with the same height requirement, she was too short.
Mm.
So it was like that stick must have been just a little bit shorter. Than all the rest. I have no idea. So that was bad because then we thought, oh, yay, you're tall enough to ride everything.
Yeah, and then you're not.
And then we're not. So that was a very frustrating vacation.
Yeah, and I work in safety, so it's like not trying to like go around the rules or anything, but I was like, that would be kind of disappointing for a family if they got there and, you know, that happened.
Cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
That's interesting.
No problem. Have a good night, guys.
See you.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Hi, who are we speaking with now?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Autumn.
Autumn?
Hi.
Willow?
Is that really Autumn?
What?
Is this really Autumn?
Yes.
What's happening?
Nothing. You told me to call in?
Yeah, because you had a question about Star Wars Weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was, but someone answered me.
So you had to call in
because Mike's been answering the phone asking for you for every call.
Well, you know, she's a big star now, so you kind of, you know, want to get all the big stars on tonight.
If you want to figure out who Autumn is, you have to listen to our Tenfest episode in 2009. That will explain quite a bit. And then you'll be wondering why she's so quiet.
Autumn's also the keeper of the book. You there, you know.
Any dirt on your sister you want to share with us?
Oh, yeah. The wedding's coming up. She's not listening. Don't worry. She's not listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
No.
Your sister. Any dirt on your sister?
Wait. I can't understand you.
We're looking for gossip. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, what were you going to say?
Uh-oh.
When we go in December, Mindy said I'm going to be a legal adult. I'm going to be 18.
What? What's the drinking age in Florida? Is it 21? Scary.
All right, thanks for calling in, Autumn. Appreciate it.
Bye, Autumn.
407-278-5939. Let's go to someone who's been trying to get through all night. Andrew from Long Island. Hey, Andrew.
Autumn.
I got some Disney food trivia.
Go ahead.
This doesn't sound good.
Which restaurant was the 1996 unofficial guide referring to with the following? The servers are more interested in serving the stuffed animals than the guests.
The 96 guide?
Yeah.
Crystal Palace.
The restaurant's defunct. It's no longer exists.
That's right, it's no longer.
Soundstage restaurant?
No, it's where Shula's is now.
Oh, geez. I don't have any idea.
It was called Harry Safari Bar and Grill.
That sounds like fun.
But I miss Jungle Gyms.
Jungle Gym. Oh, Jungle Gyms was good, man.
It was good, right? Remember that?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. Well, that's good trivia. You stumped us.
That was great.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
407-278-5939. Let's go to our good friend Mary Jo from Tennessee. Hey, Mary Jo.
Howdy, guys.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Howdy.
I said that instead of Tennessee. How's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Lynn?
Not bad at all. I ran a marathon last weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah,
did you drink a lot of water?
I did. I didn't dehydrate or anything.
Awesome. I'm so proud of you. You've come a long way since that ground on that road from the Animal Kingdom.
It's two in a row that I've not died on.
Wow.
That's a good
I'm very
record.
Proud of you.
Thanks.
Well, I was just calling because I promised AJ that I would try to call.
Hi, Mary Jo. Hey. It's so good to hear your voice.
You too.
AJ, I appreciate you guilting our listeners into listening to our show.
Mary Jo's got a fun post coming up on the Disney Food Blog you got to watch for about African restaurants.
Nice.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, Bernie Edwards and I have kind of collaborated on some articles related to African-inspired restaurants at Disney World. So
they are going to be a fabulous series.
Well, thank you. I hope so. Well, I actually did have like a food question for you. I had to think really, really super hard to come up with something.
Yeah, because you know everything.
No. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to like repeat. And then again, I'm here at work, so I'm not really sure if this is a repeat or not. So, oh well, if it is, just forgive me. Okay, my question, I have two questions, but they're kind of related. One is, what is your favorite resort quick service or food court?
Captain Cook's Polynesian.
I knew you were going to say that. You always answer something Polly. Always.
So good.
I like Pop Century's food court, too.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I love it. They have a lot of signature items there that you can't get anywhere else, which to me is starting to become the, like, how I rate a good restaurant most of the time. If you've got neat stuff, I like it.
Well, that's exactly, that kind of is a great segue from the second part. The second part was, what signature item is your favorite from a quick service or food court in a resort? Like, I was going to say, like the tie-dye cheesecake at Pop Century, or like the beignets at the French Quarter.
Yeah. I like the adult grilled cheese over at Captain Cook's, too.
Ooh, I've heard about that.
What's in the adult grilled cheese?
It's like cheddar, brie, and I can't remember the third cheese right now, but it is fabulous.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Yeah. String cheese?
It might be. And you've also got the Mom's Night Out TV dinners at Pop Century, which is cool.
Right. I've heard that fried chicken is good, but I've never tried it. What about you, Lynn?
I wonder when fried chicken isn't good.
I'm trying to think of my favorite counter service. I think they're all pretty much the same. I do like the flatbreads over at the Mara at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mara's a good choice, too.
Oh, Erwin says blue cheese is the third cheese in the
blue cheese.
That does sound incredible.
It's great. It's really good.
They should put a slice of apple on that. That'd be really good.
Blue cheese. Oh. How about
yes.
That?
MJ, that's a great idea.
Okay, well, I'll let y'all go. I know it's the end of the show.
Cool. Thank you, Mary Jo.
Well, thanks. And thanks, great talking to y'all. See ya.
See you soon.
See ya. Bye.
407-278-5939. Let's keep things rolling here. A few more minutes. And AJ, your dad already called you out during that call. She said he can't believe you haven't gone to the bathroom yet.
If that's a joke, it's surprisingly valid.
It's been almost 2 hours, no bathroom break. Is that really AJ?
I would believe you.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, I'm speaking with Megan from Rochester, New York.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hi.
Hey, Meg, this is my cousin.
Are you serious?
Hey.
No, it is, really.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hey, Meg, how you doing, hon?
You guys are doing awesome.
Oh, thanks.
That's so funny.
I've been listening for a while. You guys know your stuff. It's so cool.
What did she say? Listen to these idiots that I'm doing the show with. They don't know anything.
The word must be going out across the family lines because I honestly didn't tell anybody.
I think your mother is telling them.
All right. Well, there you go. Meg, when's your next trip to Disney World?
I believe it is maybe this summer or next spring semester for me.
Okay. All right. We will have to chat.
Yes.
Cool. Thanks, Megan.
Looking forward to it.
Hopefully you listen to shows that AJ is not on. We're also somewhat entertaining. Not as good as AJ, but you know.
They're extremely entertaining. Meg, I'll send you the link.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right, darling.
Thank you.
Bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number.
You guys didn't know what you get.
I guess not. Awesome. Len, where's your folks? Jeez.
I know, really. I just need to have people start dialing in.
407-278-5939. I want to give a big shout out to our chat room, which has been really helpful today. They're always really a lot of fun, but today they did a great job giving us some great information and keeping us honest. So big shout out to the people in chat out there.
Yay, chat.
AJ's dad and... Well, except for Janine. Everyone else is doing a really good job.
Except for Janine.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Bobby from Tennessee, but calling from the world tonight.
Yay.
Hey, Bobby. Where are you in Walt Disney World?
Well, actually just finished up the day at Epcot. Started off with a day at the studios, then Magic Kingdom, then Epcot, and headed home.
Nice.
Just a quick weekend. And real excited because I want to thank you guys. My wife finally decided to commit to doing the Wine and Dine Half Marathon on the trip down here this weekend.
Yay.
Listening to the podcast where you guys interviewed Kaia. And
oh, really?
So I wanted to thank Lynn and Scopa. I know he's not on here tonight, but
he's here.
That was pretty awesome. I appreciate Matt because the sentiment for most of my family is like Matt.
Yeah, I just don't want to go through the training.
I want to run. I just don't want to train.
I'm with you. Exactly.
So, yeah, I just got done with my first half marathon in November and finally convinced my wife. So this is the couple questions I had to do with the wine and dine. And one, where logistically is the best place to stay? And I am a service member, and I'm also an annual pass holder, so that we can stay at Shades of Green, or we could stay anywhere on property, and we've stayed at Deluxe before. So I guess if you just had to pick some place on property, where would it be for that event?
Wow.
You want to see one of the host hotels, like, right?
Yeah.
Where was that? Say that again.
The host hotel. So they're during the wine and dine half, there's only transportation to and from the race from certain resorts. I think it's one of the values, a couple of the moderates, and a couple of the deluxes.
Yeah, I was at the beach club, and I had to walk over to the yacht club to get a bus. So not all the hotels are host hotels.
How would I find that? Will they post that on the Run Disney website, or
yeah, Disney will post it. In fact, it should be available there now sometime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Now here's kind of the segue that I got my wife to commit to this is I was definitely in on it. I wanted to run it. And we were looking, and I know they've limited now this year the number of spectators that are going to be there. So I heard her say that there are going to be about 11,000 runners, but only about 6,000 guests for the after party. So that means not every runner can have a guest.
Right.
So I guess if we're both runners, we're going to get in. But I noticed that when I went to go register, they don't have those open yet. Any idea when they'll have the after party guests? When you can register for that?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
Good question, though.
And then here's a question for AJ. So this will be our first wine and dine experience. We're real excited because I'm really a love eating and kind of a foodie. So how long should we dedicate? If we're going to be up here for the half marathon anyway, what would be a good amount of time to be able to dedicate to be able to really experience the wine and dine at Epcot? Should we spend at least a day or 2 days in Epcot?
It depends on if you're just going to do the booths around the World Showcase or if you want to add in some of those special events that you can actually, pay anywhere from $10 to $250 to do. I would say for the booths around the World Showcase, I usually dedicate 2 or 3 lunches to those. So if you want to do, because I can usually only eat about 6 things at a time, if that, from those booths. So I would say do give yourself at least 2 lunches to get the stuff that you really want around the World Showcase. And then keep an eye on the event schedule, and if there are some demos, seminars that you find interesting, whether they're a winery is coming to talk or a chef is doing a demonstration, those are usually pretty cheap and pretty fun to do. So I dedicate maybe an hour or two to one or two of those as well.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate the podcast. I started listening to it when I was over in Iraq last year.
Wow.
And planning a big trip.
Wow.
When I got back, kind of a homecoming trip, and you guys were great with helping get the family prepared for that. And also give a shout out to Unofficial Guide and touringplans.com and Lines, big user of all 3.
Woo, thanks.
And, just helped me navigate a busy spring break weekend here at the World, and never waited more than 10 minutes to go on any ride.
Awesome.
Nice.
Slammed the whole weekend here at the World. So
thanks
a lot. I appreciate the show. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Well, good. And thanks so much. Thank you for all your work over in Iraq. Yep.
407-278-5939. Time for our last call of the night. And this is our last call of the evening. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Guy from Los Angeles.
Hey, Guy.
Hey, Guy.
Hey, so I got a question for the DVC owners. I'm looking to purchase DVC, but I want to do it through resale. And I know when you buy a DVC site, buy for a DVC hotel that's not your home hotel, you have to do it a year in advance, correct? You have to make reservations a year in advance?
No, you can make your home resort, you can make a reservation a year in advance.
11
Otherwise,
months.
Any other resort, 7 months in advance.
Right.
Seven, okay. So how realistic is to book 7 months in advance for your non-home resort?
Well, you just have to be flexible. That's the biggest thing I'm going to say right there. You just have to be flexible. You might have your resort that you really want, say Beach Club Villas.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might just have to be flexible.
My wife and I wanted to do like Hilton Head or one of those really cheap ones that are really cheap to buy into. But then we don't ever want to stay there. We want to stay in Disney World. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, be careful about Hilton Head because I think they actually have – is Hilton Head or Vero that has high maintenance costs because of the insurance for hurricanes?
It's both, isn't it?
Hilton Head's just went up, so.
Yeah. You got to be careful about that. I mean, actually, if you really want a cheapo to get into, it would probably be Saratoga Springs. Those are like, I mean, the resale market for that is like, you know, it's a buyer's market to say the least.
Huh. Yeah, why is that, by the way?
A lot of supply and not a lot of demand. It's not the sexiest resort out there by any means.
No.
Okay.
Pay attention to the dues, because the dues are different at each resort.
Yeah.
So pay attention to that.
So, Len, this one's for you. Every year in the unofficial guide under Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, it says this attraction is exceptionally popular and it's rated 4.5 stars. And I was wondering, have you ever seen Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
Yeah.
Nice, Len. Well, he does have Animal Kingdom on the book 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's the rating numbers we update every 6 months. So I mean those are the actual numbers.
Well, he must have been drinking that night.
Yeah, it must have been. That's just what the reader survey says. is it popular? I'd have to go back and look at the wait times. But yeah, I mean the ratings are definitely the ratings.
Wow. All right.
Yeah,
well,
man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for calling.
There's no accounting for taste.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank our special guest, AJ from DisneyFoodBlog.com and author of the new Disney Food Blog Guide to Walt Disney World Dining ebook. AJ, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we will definitely have you on in some future live shows. Everyone loves hearing you. And of course, we'll have you on some upcoming podcasts as well.
Yay!
And we're about all of our listeners. This episode of WGW Today has been sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, including comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 129,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of Pictus in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And I want to thank all of our listeners who always tune into these live shows, new and old. Appreciate all the callers who called in with these great questions. And, of course, all our chatters for doing such a great job. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, you can visit us online at WDWtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scope, and Mike Newell, the fabulous Annette Owen, and, of course, AJ, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.